Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We are going to continue on with our series, Being Led by the Holy Spirit, and this is part two. So, as we started out yesterday with our base scripture, I want to start out with Romans chapter 8, verse 14. But before I quote this verse and we get into the teaching, I want to do as my custom is every time, is introduce my lovely, beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife.
Wow.
Great woman of God, Miss Karina, Norca Karina.
What an honor. It's such a good thing to be able to take this time and share God's goodness with you. We truly pray that as we are all learning, that the Holy Spirit will minister to each one of us and just take us into a greater knowledge of this truth, but not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, so that we may walk in the word that is being given to us by the Holy Spirit himself.
Amen, sweetheart. You are such a blessing to me, and I don't think I can say it enough how much God has blessed me by bringing you into my life, and how you're walk with the Lord has even blessed me and enriched my life in so many ways. You are a blessing from heaven.
Thank you. You are a blessing as well. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. So we're going to start out here in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I want that to be our base scripture for this series. And of course, there's going to be a lot of things we got to share on this because we both have already agreed that there's many parts to this teaching may go into several different parts in this series.
That's true.
That we can hit on. So, but let's, without further ado, let me go ahead and read this scripture. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God."
Amen.
And of course, we know that means daughters of God as well. And so, the key thing here is that they are the ones that are led by the Spirit of God. It means they've submitted to God. They're in submission and surrender to him to allow him to do the leading and to follow him. He's not their personal assistant. He's not their sidekick. He is the leader. And this is Amen. The thing about being led by the Holy Spirit. I remember reading Brother Hagin said in one of his books talking about the leading of the Spirit. And he was saying, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase because I like the way it says it this way, is that, you know, it does very little good to say you want to be led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but yet not willing to want to obey him. You know, because when people say, oh, yeah, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, but do they really know what that means? That means they need to be subjected and in submission to the Lord and is leading for their life all the time, that they're to follow him, to do his will, his bidding, what it is he wants them to do with their life. And this is not just, you know, once on week, like on Sunday morning. This is everyday thing.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, you know, he says that if anyone, I'm going to paraphrase it, that if anyone does not take up his cross and follow him, he said they are not worthy of him. So we're talking about surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be a follower. And like I said, you know, some people have made the Lord, made the Holy Spirit, you know, in their mind, their personal assistant, sidekick. He's there to assist them to accomplish what they've set out their mind to do. And this is not how God sees it. God sees it as he's the leader, you know, he's Batman, we're Robin. You know, it's not the other way around. You know, there's always one that's the leader and the follower. And this is where we come in to be followers. Jesus said that, you know, to take up our cross and deny ourselves. He even told his apostles, you know, like he told Peter, when Peter asked about John, he said, well, what about this man? He said, you know, what does it matter to you if he, you know, should be here, you know, not see me, you know,
he doesn't taste death.
Yeah, he doesn't taste death. Here I'm getting all tongue tied. But anyway, he says, but you follow me.
That's right.
Right? So we are called to follow Jesus.
Amen.
That's what discipleship is. It's about following somebody who's leading. And you know what? The Lord knows where he's going. And that's an important part of this thing. I think that sometimes Christians don't seem to realize, and they know it, but they don't seem to realize this whole thing about submission and following is about following somebody who knows more than they do about where they're supposed to be going. And he knows clearly where we're going, where we're supposed to be going, and what he wants us to be doing, because he already has a plan laid out.
You know, that's a good point, because, for example, you and I can head out and start walking together, but somebody has to lead. Somebody has to follow the other, right? And just because we're walking, sometimes we think, oh, I want to walk with Jesus, but we want him to follow us where we're going. But that's not the way it is. So I think it's important to just repeat what's kind of obvious, that when we say we want to walk with Jesus, or God wants us to walk with him, the Holy Spirit is the one who is guiding us. He is walking with us. It's not that he is accompanying us on our own personal route and our own self destinations, appointed destination. He is the one who's leading. So we are to be following him. And, you know, the Word of God says, and this is very important, how can two people walk together if they don't agree as to where they're going?
That's
right? Not paraphrasing, but right? There's no way that we can walk together. We can maybe start off walking together, but at some point, if we're not going the same direction, we are going to part ways. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach us that not only is he willing and wants to walk with us, but if so, then he has to lead, because he knows best and he loves us greatly. And he showed how much he loves us. Jesus showed his love towards us. So I'm saying that to say that we can trust him. We can trust his leading.
That's very powerful, because you just said it in a way that really resonates, you know, about that people want him to walk. You know, they say they want to walk with Jesus, but they really want him to walk with them on their journey.
Right.
Wherever they choose to go, whatever they choose to do in life. And I think, you know, that is the basic idea that many Christians have about the Christian life, is that he's there to go alongside of them and, you know, walk with them in their endeavors,
right,
and to bless their endeavors and whatever they wanted to do. But it's like you said, you know, if a person goes out to walk with a friend, you know, husband, wife, or whomever, and they're just walking casually, but they have no, you know, destination in mind other than just to be walking out there and just enjoying the walk. You know, I think that's another way maybe some Christians look at it too, is, well, you know, just kind of going along through life and I got Jesus with me. You know, so he's kind of riding along wherever they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what the Christian walk is about, supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about surrendering to him and following his will and his plan for their life. And, of course, we're going to get into many things that the Scripture talks about, you know, like in our early devotion we had this morning about the things, you know, of walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, you know, not carrying out the deeds of the flesh. As it even says in this passage in Romans chapter 14, it's talking about putting to death the deeds of the flesh and being able to develop the things of the Spirit. And so in this original context of this verse, in this chapter, that's exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them into a mature walk with the Lord, where they're perfecting the things of holiness, of righteousness and the nature and character of God, and putting to death the sinful carnal deeds of the flesh.
Amen.
And that's a part of what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, so that he can lead us out of that sinful carnal nature and develop into the nature of God and of Christ. That's his will, that Christ be formed in us. And so that's one of the things we'll talk more in detail about, but also it has many other applications, you know. And one other one that I emphasize a lot is about God's specific plan and calling for one's life. Of course, being called to holiness is what we're just talking about here, is another part of it. But I'm talking specifically about, you know, are you called to be a preacher or work in education or into what field or market of business, real estate, whatever it might be that somebody might be called into, to follow that specific plan as well. So it's so many things, many facets to this walk of discipleship and being led by the Spirit. So I'm sure we're going to do multiple parts on this subject, sweetheart.
You know, another example that comes to mind, as a teacher, we receive and we have a curriculum that we are going to be teaching our children. Now, the children that come to the classroom, they don't know what they need to learn. They don't come with their own curriculum and lesson plans.
Right.
They don't come with their own information. They come into that classroom to be guided, to receive the information, the knowledge that they need in order to move forward and continue to grow. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. You know, and God is so good. I mean, we're talking, I know our listeners know, but it's so good to repeat this a million times. God is so good, and he loves us so much. And when he talks about guiding us, it's pure love, pure love, pure grace, pure favor, pure mercy, compassion, everything that God is, because he knows that with his guidance, our life is going to actually hit the mark if we surrender to him and follow his leading, and it's going to be so much better for us. So when we come into this beautiful relationship with God and say, yes, Holy Spirit, okay, thank you. You're going to be my teacher, my counselor. You're going to abide in me. That's wonderful. You know what? You're the one who has the knowledge. You're the one who knows where to go. I'm not going to be like the student that thinks that he or she knows what the teacher is supposed to teach. I surrender to you. I'm going to humble myself before you and acknowledge that you know more than me.
Wow. I mean, that speaks to me on so many levels here, because I thought to myself of situations I'd been in, mm-hmm. you know, going into prison ministry, which I did for 27, 28 years. And, you know, most of the time the men were hungry for the Lord, hungry for the word, you know, ready to receive, you know, mm-hmm. and recognizing the gift that God had given me in the teaching ministry and open to receive. But there were those times where guys were coming in and they knew everything, you know. They knew more than I knew. They needed to direct me on what I'm supposed to teach. And it's just like, why are you here if you haven't come to learn, you know? If you know so much like you think you do, then why aren't you, like, teaching a Bible study somewhere yourself, you know? And I've had even pastors say some of the same things about people that will come to the church and they're trying to educate the pastors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, you know what, there's many places to go and platforms to get on. Or he even said, you know, if there's not even one you can find, go start one on the street corner somewhere.
And it doesn't mean that we can't learn from each other, obviously, but there is a spirit of love and of humility in which we can share with one another.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, you're right. There's not, you know, that we can't learn anything from someone else
right. That
we might even consider to be a student. But the point, what I'm getting at is, and as you well know, is that there's, you know, it's usually those kind of people that do that, there's a spirit behind it.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of pride.
Don't teach me.
You can't tell them nothing.
Right.
You know, they know it all. And, you know, it's like kind of like teenagers, you know. You know, it's kind of funny, little kids as they grow up looking to their parents all the time for help. But as soon as they hit those teenage years, they know it all.
They know it all.
You know, you can't tell them anything.
Parents are old-fashioned.
And then when they get in their 20s, well, their parents know a little more. When they get a little older, it seems like their parents surely know a whole lot more than they thought.
Come back for advice, yeah.
You know, so,
or money.
Yeah. There you have it. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing, you know, to be able to receive from the Lord, from whoever he sends your way to help you. And I don't count myself as being something into myself. Well, obviously, I'm not. I know that. I need help just like anybody else,
absolutely.
You know. But, you know, God gives us different gifts according to the grace that he gives us. And the teaching ministry is what God has given me. And that's my calling.
Amen.
And, of course, you have it too, sweetheart. You are a wonderful Bible teacher and a wonderful preacher and evangelist and so many other, you know, things we can go on to. You love children and you love women. You love people. I mean, I've told people this, some of my friends, before I moved out here. I said, this woman that I want to marry, she is probably the kindest person that I've ever met in my whole life.
That's so sweet. That is so sweet.
And not only that she is kind, but she's full of love and goodness. You know, it's like, wow, God, you really, I mean, you know, somebody might say it like this, kind of in a joking way, you really must love me a lot to bless me like that, you know, because I know I didn't deserve it. You know, I know I didn't deserve it. And, but God is he's so good.
God's grace, and you also, and each one of us, when we surrender into God's hands, that's what we should do. We should reflect not our own great qualities and personalities, but actually reflect the glory of Jesus in us.
All right. So moving on to
the
Bible
topics
here. Instead of flattering my wife this whole broadcast. Yeah, so he's looking to continue to get those birthday presents since yesterday was his birthday. And we have a good time together,
yes,
sweetheart.
We
really click together, and I know that God's put us together because this is such a blessed relationship.
Amen.
That we have here.
And we pray that this relationship, and even as our listeners can you know, listen to us and listen a little bit about our testimony, and that they're also blessed, you know. And I'm sure that there are marriages in the name of Jesus that will continue to be strengthened and guided by the Spirit because of this beautiful relationship and testimony. We learn from each other.
Yeah, and this is maybe you might say we kind of got off track here a little bit, but the point here also with about being led by the Spirit is this, that we both submitted ourselves to the Lord, seeking God's will. You know, we made, mistakes in the past and whatever, but as we came back to full circle to the Lord and let God lead us and be patient, look, he brought us together.
Amen.
And we know this was God's doing,
yes,
because it's
yes.
so beautiful. The things that in our relationship, this everything seems to click together right. You know, this is the right relationship. And so we can say that to you, those listeners out there. You may be in that position right now. You're like wondering, you know, where is that divine appointed mate that God has for me? And I can tell you this, if you will wait and trust God, submit to God, he will bring you somebody that is exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And that's what he did for me.
And that's what he did for me.
So
we are
blessed to have each other.
Praise God.
And we praise God for it. But, you know, we know it came because we submitted to God's will.
That's right.
To follow him and do his will.
And the beauty of it, and once again, not to continue on this tangent, but the beauty of it is that even though we enjoy each other, our company, we just enjoy our time together and all that, but we are so sure, and we have seen what God has done and continues to do bringing us together, which is working, and which is sharing His word, which is teaching. And that's the beauty of it. You know, when we're led by the Spirit, what He does, as you said, is just abundantly more than what we expected. Because I would have been just very happy to have a wonderful husband, you know. But then to bring us together on a co-mission as collaborators here, and just invested in the kingdom of God and being led by Him, whatever He wants, to have that same mindset, that unity of spirit, only God can do that. Only God can do that. And it is beautiful. And so we bless our listeners, those that are also waiting on the Lord, that they too will be patient and start thanking God for that wonderful spouse that the Lord is bringing their way.
Yes, and that's another part of a, you know, expression of faith, is believing God that He's going to do exactly what He said He would do if you right. would do what He said to do. If He says, you know, submit to Me, and you trust Him to lead you, He's going to do just
Amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, you can, you know, take it to the bank. You know, you can know that God is faithful. You know, I think where some people get tripped up is, you know, of course, there's different reasons why different people get tripped up. But one of the reasons is because they're not seeing the thing come to pass. And it seems like week after week, month after month, maybe even year after year has gone by, and they don't see the promise. But we've taught on this
That's right.
in many series before, is that God requires us to have faith and patience.
That's right.
And patience isn't always 2 weeks. You know, I used to think having patience was something like, okay, if I can just weather this thing for 2 hours, you know, this storm, you know, 2 hours, are you kidding me? Two months, oh, are you kidding me? 2 years, oh, no, it might be even way longer than all that. So, you know, we know from the story of Abraham mm-hmm. that he waited on God for 25 years.
Wow.
And you know, but I'm not wanting to discourage anybody. If you're just now starting to believe for a spouse and thinking, oh my gosh, I might have to wait 25 years. Well, I mean, I honestly had to wait 31 years. But I'm glad he didn't tell me that in the first year or two. I probably would have fainted and not woke back up. But anyway, so you know, we got to trust God.
That's right.
And wait on His timing, because His timing is always perfect.
That's right.
And so, having said that, you know, we'll move on to some few other things here. Let's ask this question, because you said this was good to do, and I think I agree with you here on okay. this, is to ask the listeners questions that get them to think. What, you know, are some of the different ways which you, as the listener, would see as God leading you by His Spirit? Mm-hmm. In what ways do you see that you need to be led, or that you believe God would want to lead you? Just think about that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, we've talked about Him leading us in our divine calling, whatever that vocation is. But we also talked earlier about being led where we're being conformed to the image of Christ and putting to death the deeds of the flesh. But what else can He lead a person into? These are things that I like to think about and wonder about, because, you know, the more that we meditate upon God and questions like that, the more we put ourselves in a position where God can speak to us and reveal to us new things.
That's true. And that's the difference between what some people call, you know, meditation, which is kind of like emptying your mind and emptying your heart, and which we also, you know, want to ask the listeners to be careful with those things that you participate in, because sometimes we open doors to things that are attached to spiritual traditions and things that are not clean. So just be careful with that. But the difference with what you're saying is meditating on the word is not for you to empty yourself and then just be open and vulnerable to any other spirit that wants to come in. On the contrary, here what we're doing is that we're meditating on the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides you. You're filling your life with the word of God. not just emptying yourself, but actually filling your mind, your thoughts, your attitudes, your speech, your behavior, your passions, your filling your life with the Word of God. And that's going to have a very good and positive result in your walk. And the Holy Spirit wants to guide us. And as you said, guide us in which ways? In so many ways. Ways that we don't even think that He would be interested in guiding us. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us.
That's very beautifully said, sweetheart. You know, because, you know, meditation is a part of what the Scripture, you know, encourages us to do. You know, to meditate. He told Joshua in the Old Testament, he said, you know, that this book of the law, you shall meditate on day and night.
That's right.
You know, you will not let it depart from your eye. You will not, you know, stop thinking about it, you know, what God is saying. So as we meditate on God's Word, we are opening ourselves up for God to fill us with His Word, because that's part of a relationship. We talk about relationship building with the Lord. He doesn't come down in the flesh and sit in a chair next to you and have a conversation like you do with your cousin or your brother or sister. He speaks through His Word. And as you get into the Word, the Bible, and read and see the things He says, where He says, I will guide you into all truth and teach you all things, as He says in John 16:13 and in John 14:26, that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will teach you all things. He will not speak on His own initiative, but what He hears, He will speak and show you things to come. And as you meditate on things like that, then guess what? He starts doing that, because you're spending time with Him through His Word, and He will begin speaking to your spirit. Amen. By this Holy Spirit that's in you. And it's amazing the things that He will teach you and reveal to you, things you did not know. You know, we know this from our own personal experience, that having that time with the Lord, it allows Him to be able to speak to us and reveal Himself to us. And that's what Jesus said that He would do. The Holy Spirit is probably the greatest gift you will ever receive in life. That's after right. The born-again experience.
That's exactly what I said. That's right.
God in you, mm-hmm. there to be with you and to lead you and guide you into life, mm-hmm. and to be your best friend. That's amazing that God would want to do that with us.
Powerful.
So we're saying all that to say that, you know, you need, if you haven't already, you know, because there's many people who may listen to this broadcast, and we know that people are on all kinds of different levels of the spiritual walk with God. That if you're one of those persons who have not committed your life to the Lord, you need to. If you're a person who has not understood the necessity of having a relationship with Him through His Holy Spirit, you have not received the Holy Spirit, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And you need to cultivate that relationship with Him, because He wants you to do that. He wants that relationship with you, and that He can teach you and guide you and lead you and be there with you and for you. You know, it's a sad shame to see people go through life, their entire life, and they have no relationship with God whatsoever.
That's true.
Totally disconnected from the very source of their life, of their breath, who created them and gave them their heartbeat, not even knowing Him.
Wow. And that's what the enemy wants. You know, we have a friend, definitely. The Lord is in favor of our well-being, of our abundant life. But we have an enemy who's against all that and works very hard day and night to make sure that we remain separated from the Lord. And as you said it so eloquently the other day, if He can't keep you separated and you already gave your heart to Jesus, He is going to do everything possible to keep you ignorant of what it means to be a born-again believer. Because once a born-again believer realizes what it means to have the same power, the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from death, we have Him abiding inside of us. That's a powerful, powerful born-again Christian, a born-again believer. So that's why the enemy tries so hard to keep this treasure, this truth, from your mind, your heart, and more so from your practice. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants you and I to understand and to know. And I think before we end it, it'll be wise, as we always do, to invite those that have not given their heart to the Lord. Listen, you're hearing all these beautiful things about the Holy Spirit and how He guides you and how the Lord loves you. But this is step two. Step one is the one that the non-believer has to take. Who's the non-believer? The person who still has not said to Jesus, "Jesus, I acknowledge that you are the Son of God. I recognize and admit that I am a sinner. I give my heart and my life to you, and in exchange, I'll receive your salvation and your life." When you do that sincerely, and you repent, and you just tell the Lord that you want Him as Savior and Lord, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and abides in you. And that's where the leading of the Holy Spirit begins. Then you become a born-again creature. And not only will you walk in victory here on earth, but you will also be secure that when you pass, when you die, when you close your eyes, you will spend eternity with God the Father in heaven.
Amen. Yeah, so we'll head and end this broadcast here. And we want to thank everybody for listening. This is going to be an adventure. I see so many great things coming out of this series.
That's right.
So thanks for listening, and God bless everyone. And we'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.